Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 982, Manafort and the Snipers, the Azov Battalion and the Russiagate PSYOP. This is being recorded on Halloween of 2017, October 31st. Yesterday, Robert Mueller, that very special prosecutor who has been handling the, quote, Russiagate, unquote, investigation, read PSYOP, indicted Paul Manafort, the former manager of the Trump campaign, on money laundering charges. Now, this as yet, has not, as far as I have been able to tell, the initial indictments gone to alleged Russian meddling in the campaign. As I have said so many times, the entire Russian meddling in the U.S. campaign is basically drivel. The roots of Donald Trump lie in Germany and, to a lesser extent, the mob and the American far right, not Russia. Trump kept a collection of Hitler's speeches called My New Order as nighttime reading in the table beside his bed. And that is not something that comes from Russia. What we have been seeing with the Trump administration is basically something of a classic National Socialist manifestation. While giving lip service to some populist ideological programs, in fact, Trump has given the corporations everything they want, is either has or is trying to give the corporations everything they want, Wall Street everything they want, and the military everything they want as well. We have seen more or less openly American fascist groups go into the streets in open support of Donald Trump, and with his apparent support as well. We have Richard Spencer, who a few blocks away from the White House in November was leading cheers of Heil Trump. And that, I think, is a little bit too much for some of the powers that be. I think Trump's removal had been scheduled for some time. It also serves very nicely to blame the overt, out in the daylight, in your face and up your expletive deleted emergence of American fascism on Russia. And Russia is not responsible. We've done way too much on Russiagate to possibly sum it up here. What we're going to be looking at in this program, however, are some of the things surrounding Paul Manafort. Manafort was alleged in cell phone conversations and texts by his daughter Andrea to have been an instigator of the firing by Yanukovych / Berkut snipers on the Maidan or Maidan demonstrators. It is generally accepted that it was those sniper killings and that shooting that really led, or was the decisive element in the downfall of Yanukovych. What we're going to be looking at in this program, we're going to review the allegation now being investigated in Ukraine that Manafort helped to instigate or inspire the sniper shootings in the Maidan. We also are going to review information by Ukraine's chief prosecutor that they had uncovered the weapons that were used to fire on the Maidan demonstrators. One of the snipers who allegedly helped the other Yanukovych / Berkut, that's Berkut, snipers to flee from the Maidan. He was able to go to a lake in Ukraine, according to their chief prosecutor, and recovered the weapons that had been used in the shooting. What is interesting is that the weapons were all deposited in one place. They also were deposited intact, or as it would have been altogether feasible, even simple, to have destroyed or at very least cut up the weapons or to have disposed of them in various places. As it happened now, all of the weapons were conveniently in one place, intact, were recovered by someone who is alleged by the chief prosecutor of Ukraine to have helped the pro-Yanukovych / Berkut, again, Berkut snipers, to escape from Kiev. And the chief prosecutor has also alleged that that individual was with the Maidan protesters in Kiev. And for the record, 919, I noted that Manafort, Donald Trump's campaign manager, having succeeded longtime GOP Dirty Tricks maven Roger Stone as the campaign manager for Donald Trump. Manafort's CV suggests not that he was a pro-Russian dupe, but that he was something of an advanced man to infiltrate regimes targeted for destabilization. If in fact, as is alleged by his daughter, he did help to instigate the sniper fire in Ukraine, that would be considered on the Maidan, that would be consistent with the analysis I presented, that far from being a Kremlin dupe, he was actually an advanced man to go in and help to arrange the details for the machinations for the removal of Yanukovych and the installation of the OUNB successor organizations in Ukraine. They have been present there since the downfall of the former Soviet Union and have been basically in charge of key aspects of Ukrainian national security, their intelligence services and their military. And Roman Zvarych, the personal secretary to Yaroslav Stetsko. Stetsko was the World War II wartime head of the Ukrainian satellite government, and he implemented Nazi ethnic cleansing in Ukraine. Stetsko then became the head of the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, and the key element in that, or one of the key figures, was the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, initially formed by Adolf Hitler as the Committee of Subjugated Nations. It is dominated, or was dominated, by the OUNB and Yaroslav Stetsko, again, the wartime, World War II wartime head of the Ukrainian satellite government in occupied Ukraine, became the single most important figure in the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations. His personal secretary, a guy named Roman Zvarych, became the Minister of Justice for Ukraine, the equivalent of Attorney General in the U.S. He served in the same post under both Tymoshenko governments in Ukraine, was an advisor to Petro Poroshenko, and is the chief spokesperson for the Azov Battalion, That is something that is going to be front and center in our discussion today. Now, in our last program, we talked about not only the Azov Battalion, which had been formed and financed by Ukrainian oligarch Igor Kolomoyskoy, who in turn was the head of the Ukrainian province that contained the guided missile factory that was alleged to have provided the advanced missile technology to North Korea. And that advanced missile technology, combined with North Korea's burgeoning nuclear capability, is now inspiring the Japanese to forego their pacifist constitution, or many of them anyway. A key Ukrainian parliamentarian whom we're going to speak of, Anton Gerashenko, that's Gerashenko, is very closely affiliated with the Azov Battalion. Gerashenko also has been sort of the PR man for a Ukrainian hacker nicknamed Profexor, P-R-O-F-E-X-E-R, or perhaps O-R in some cases, who is alleged to have put together the software for Guccifer 2.0 or Cozy Bear or Fancy Bear or Grizzly Step or what have you, the alleged Russian hackers who supposedly hacked the DNC. Not only has that never been demonstrated, but in fact, there have been allegations by Craig Murray, the former UK ambassador to Uzbekistan, who alleged that he gave the information on the DNC emails to WikiLeaks and that it came from a dissatisfied DNC insider. I suspect, although I will guarantee you will never find out who that person was for sure, I suspect that is Tulsi Gabbard, the left cover or progressive cover Hindutva fascist from the Hare Krishna cult, who was Bernie Sanders' prospective vice presidential candidate. We spoke about her in For the Record 941, 942, and 945, and we will come back to her at a future date. Anton Gerashenko, again, whom we're going to talk about here, is part of the Azov Battalion milieu. He has been sort of the go-to guy for information about the alleged flesh and blood witness to Russian hacking of the DNC. And again, Anton Gerashenko is part of the Azov Battalion milieu. Gerashenko also has worked very closely with Ukrainian hackers who have been involved in a number of things, including the putting together of the prop or not list of alleged Russian or Kremlin journalistic dupes, that list again having been put together by Russian hackers and then subsequently legitimized by the Washington Post. We talked about that in our last program. So again, one of the names to pay attention to here, Anton Gerashenko. Remember Roman Zvarich, again, one of the links running from the World War II Ukrainian satellite government in Ukraine all the way on up through the Azov Battalion. That is one of the Ukrainian volunteer battalions that has received training and weaponry from the U.S. They have the swastika and the SS rune on their combat helmets and have a significant presence in their ranks of foreign fighters. More about that later. In addition to Anton Gerashenko and Roman Zvarich, we're going to hear about Oleg Ryashko. He's the founder of the Radical Party and generally credited with being one of the driving forces behind the formation of the Azov Battalion. Also a guy named Igor Mosipchuk, and I'm sure that I'm mispronouncing many, if not all, of these Ukrainian names. Igor, depending, I-H-O-R, Mosipchuk, M-O-S, Masychuk. And Masychuk is described as the number two person in the Azov battalion, behind the Azov battalion's commander, Andrei Beletsky, the founder of the Social National Assembly, basically a Nazi organization in Ukraine. And as we are going to see, Mr. Masychuk, again, Masychuk, was badly injured in the bombing last week, and members of the Azov battalion were in the Maidan, or people who are now members of Azov battalion, were in the Maidan serving as snipers to neutralize the Berkut snipers in Ukraine. If in fact, as is alleged by one of their ranks, there were basically Ukrainian fascist or foreign fascist snipers in the Maidan firing at Berkut snipers, basically Ukrainian police, that would certainly give a degree of depth to any understanding of what actually happened in the Maidan, where again, the firing by some of the pro-Yanukovych forces on the Maidan demonstrators sounded the death knell for the Yanukovych regime. Ihor Masychuk, as we will see, was leading some demonstrations in the Maidan, which were cracked down upon by the Yanukovych regime, and that crackdown in turn led momentum to the Maidan demonstrations. As we are also going to see, one of the snipers who had fought in Chechnya and is now fighting in, or had been fighting in, Ukraine alongside Pravi Sektor and the Azov battalion, was recently shot and killed in a roadside ambush in Ukraine. That sniper, Amina Okayeva, had previously worked as an advisor to Ihor Masychuk, the number two man in the Azov battalion, and the fellow who was helping to lead some of the demonstrations in Maidan that led momentum to the populist or popular demonstrations that led to the down overthrow of Yanukovych. Interestingly, her husband has linked the wounding in the bomb attack of Masychuk with the killing of Ms. Okayeva, and had described a previous attempt on their lives by someone posing as a foreign journalist. Now, when criticism had arisen in the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, of the Azov battalion, the aforementioned Anton Gerashenko, who again is networking with Ukrainian hackers to do various things in Ukraine, was most outraged. He was extremely angry and said there are no foreign fighters in the Azov battalion, but did say that foreign, quote, journalists, unquote, had come from various countries, including France and Sweden and Italy, to fight, to join with Azov battalion and cover their, quote, freedom, unquote, struggle. Interesting that someone using the cover of a foreign journalist attempted to eliminate Ms. Okayeva, who was subsequently killed. Ms. Okayeva is an ethnic Chechen who had been fighting against Russia in Chechnya and has been fighting in Ukraine. We took a look at some Islamic State-trained Chechenian fighters who were fighting in Ukraine alongside of Pravi Sektor. Pravi Sektor is the political front of the UNO, or the UNO-UNSA. That is the latest iteration of the UPA, the military wing of the OUND. And so, again, key names here, in addition to Paul Manafort and his alleged instigation of the use of snipers to fire on the crowd and, quote, generate outrage on whose behalf or for the benefit of what side has never been clarified. The Azov Battalion. Key people with Azov Battalion, Ihor Mazychik, its commander Andrei Beletsky, and Anton Gerashenko, who, again, is working with Ukrainian hackers. Bear in mind that, well, a couple of things. That, first of all, Ukraine was an epicenter of cybercrime long before the Maidan. Bear in mind, too, that hackers a skilled hacker can very easily create a cyber false flag operation. Worth noting again and worth keeping in mind here that the key point person, the point person for Donald Trump's dealings with Russia is a guy named Felix Sater with links to both CIA and FBI. The key WikiLeaks person in charge of their Russian operations is a guy named Joran Jermaz, a.k.a., quote, Israel Shamir, a Russian-born fascist and anti-Semite, who arranged for WikiLeaks to hold forth on the Pirate Bay website financed by Swedish fascist Carl Lundstrom. And Lundstrom, by the way, also was networking with Daniel Freiberg of Nordic House, a white supremacist or Nazi publishing house in Sweden. Freiberg is now working with Richard Spencer. Freiberg has an internet outlet called Red Ice Radio or Red Ice Media that caters to New Agers, that is basically fascist in its orientation. So again, Ihor Mazychik, Anton Gerashenko, and Michael Skillet, as we will see, all affiliated with the Azov Battalion. Point man for Trump and his dealings with Russia, Felix Sater, linked to both CIA and FBI. Key person involved with WikiLeaks Russian operations is Joran Jermaz, a.k.a. Israel Shamir, who arranged for WikiLeaks to hold forth initially on the Pirate Bay website of Swedish fascist Carl Lundstrom. And also remember the UNA-UNSO, the latest iteration of the UPA. The UPA is the paramilitary wing of the OUND. And something that we're going to mention in passing is really is central to the discussion, but we'll do the limitation of time where we really cannot spend too much time on it. And that is the fact that the lustration laws, L-U-S-T-R-A-T-I-O-N, is something of a three-sided entity in Ukraine. It is an anti-corruption law. It also is, quote, anti-communist, unquote. Although, again, Ukraine has not been part of the Soviet Union since 1991. It also has made it a crime in Ukraine to tell the truth about the OUND and its paramilitary wing, the military cadre, the UPA, and their collaboration with Nazi Germany. That is extremely important. What we are seeing in Ukraine is a standing of history on its head. One of the questions I have is whether the Azov Battalion did indeed have snipers who were firing on the police in at the Maidan. Manafort is alleged by his daughter to have instigated that. Some of that firing may have come from Azov Battalion combatants. In turn, someone who was with the Maidan demonstrators was able to retrieve all of the weapons allegedly used to fire on the crowd, intact and in one place from a lake in Ukraine. That person alleged by Ukraine's chief prosecutor to have been one of the Maidan demonstrators. And I also wonder if, in fact, the wounding of the number two man in the Azov battalion, Ihor Masichik, and the killing of Ms. Okayeva, one of his advisors, and herself a sniper affiliated with the Azov battalion Pravi Sektor Milieu. I wonder if, in fact, as Manafort is being indicted, I wonder if we are looking at the sanitization of some of the Maidan sniping links. This is, I realize, very confusing. I'm going to do the best I can. Please reference the written description for the program. It is very hard to communicate this tangled web of all of these Eastern European names in the way that it really deserves. I'm going to review briefly elements from an article from the Independent in the UK of September 21st of 2017. This is by Kim Sengupta, S-E-N-G-U-P-T-A. As the Russia investigation continues, the focus has intensified on Ukraine. And in this, note the following, skipping down. Ukraine's anti-corruption bureau, set up under Western supervision, has allegedly discovered secret accounts, the so-called Black Ledger, supposedly showing that in the period of 5 years between 2007 and 2012, when Mr. Manafort received $12.7 million from Yanukovych's party of regions, officials hold that the money was part of an illegal, clandestine system which had been used to pay off a number of figures. Mr. Manafort has insisted that he had not received the money. Human rights groups in Ukraine also want to question Mr. Manafort about killings during the Maidan protests in Kiev in 2014. Eugenia Zakreska, Z-A-K-R-E-V-S-K-A, a lawyer representing families of victims, is part of a team seeking information on who was complicit in President Yanukovych's ordering security forces to open fire on demonstrators. The lawyer's demands for explanation spring from the hacking earlier this year of the iPhone of Mr. Manafort's daughter, Andrea, with around 300,000 messages published in the dark web. One of the texts sent to her sister Jessica said, "Don't fool yourself. That money we have is blood money," unquote. It continued, "You know he has killed people in Ukraine knowingly as a tactic to outrage the world and get focus on Ukraine. Remember when there were all those deaths taking place a while back, about a year ago, revolts and whatnot? Do you know whose strategy that was to cause that, to send those people, to get them slaughtered?" That is very interesting. Some of those hacked texts have in fact been confirmed as genuine by Mr. Manafort. That was contained in an article. I'm just going to have it in the description for the show. CNN of March 11th of this year, 2017, had an article by Simon Ostrovsky, O-S-T-R-O-V-S-K-Y. Ukraine lawyer seeks probe of alleged hacked texts of Manafort's daughter. And again, very interesting that Manafort's daughter has alleged that Manafort was helping to instigate the sniper attacks, or advising that snipers open fire. And again, from the blog UNIAN.info of July 24th of 2016, prosecutors say public to face unpleasant surprise in Maidan killings probe. With the help of military counterintelligence, we have found weapons of the Black Hundred, i.e. the people shooting on the demonstrators, including a sniper rifle, which the entire country saw on footage showing the shooting at the protesters from outside the October Palace, he told the 112 Ukraine TV channel. We found it with a large number of automatic rifles on the bottom of one of Kiev's lakes. They were cut and drowned in one batch by a single group whose leader is one of the targets of our investigation. Unfortunately, this man, who according to our version, upon the orders of former Interior Minister Vitaly Zakarchenko, Z-A-K-H-A-R-C-H-E-N-K-O, helped the Black Hundred flee Kiev, destroyed and drowned their weapons, he himself was with us on the Maidan, Lutsenko said. He himself was with us on the Maidan. Earlier, Deputy Prosecutor General of Ukraine, Chief Military Prosecutor Anatoly Matios, M-A-T-I-O-S, said, when public learns who is involved in this, people will be very surprised. According to him, information to be published may cause rejection, quote, but the truth is the truth. And I'm going to review also another article that we looked at in For the Record 981. And so far, all of the articles that I have been citing here are discussed in For the Record 981. From the New York Times of October 7th of 2017, Schooled in Scandal, What Makes Ukraine a Hotbed of Intrigue by Andrew Higgins and Andrew E. Kramer. It talks about the arrest of a guy named Gamebi Kapkanov, a Russian-born Ukrainian hacker who was arrested and then mysteriously was able to disappear. Again, bear in mind that Anton Gerashenko, about whom we'll have more to say in a minute, an intimate of the Azov Battalion milieu, has been working with Ukrainian hackers and has been sort of the PR front for Perfexor, the alleged flesh-and-blood witness or participant in the alleged hacking of DNC by Russia. As we looked at in For the Record 981, there is no evidence whatsoever linking Perfexor to the DNC hack, and in fact, he was generating software for use by a number of hackers throughout the former Soviet Union. And the web shell that he was using, that was used in the DNC hack, allegedly was an outdated version of that. It may not have been a hack at all. Bear in mind, too, that when that information came to light, immediately before the Democratic Convention, it caused the Sandinistas to raise all kinds of hell, not unlike the way the McCarthy forces helped to disrupt the Democratic Convention in 1968. Reminded me very much of what happened there. And again, Bernie Sanders' prospective vice presidential candidate who placed his name in nomination at the convention, Tulsi Gabbard, who also co-sponsored some legislation that would have labeled anyone who opposes Ukraine's entry into the EU as a terrorist, unquote. That is a really interesting definition of a terrorist. About Mr. Manafort from this article from the New York Times of October 7th. While still politically influenced, Ukrainian law enforcement is no longer a swamp of incompetence and corruption. It has been able to monitor Mr. Manafort's former business associates and turn up evidence of Russian hacking in the 2016 United States election, in part owing to American support. The CIA, again, with whom Felix Sater works, Felix Sater, the point man for Trump's dealings with Russia, the CIA tore out a Russian-provided cell phone surveillance system and put in American-supplied computers, said Victoria Gorbuz, G-O-R-B-U-Z, a former head of liaison at the SBU, the Ukrainian Intelligence Service. Ms. Gorbuz's department translated telephone intercepts from the new, parenthetically CIA-provided system and forwarded them to the Americans. It is unclear whether any phone intercepts relevant to the election meddling investigation have gone to the American authorities, but a Ukrainian law enforcement official has given journalists partial phone records of former associates of Mr. Manafort. Again, note the CIA, SBU, Ukrainian Fascist Foundation for much of this information. Now, turning to the Azov Battalion per se, we're going to review an article that we looked at in For the Record 803 and 804. This from the BBC of July 16th of 2014. It's by Dina Newman, N-E-W-M-A-N. Ukraine Conflict, White Power Warrior from Sweden. It reads in part, Michael Skilt, or Skivak, S-K-I-L-R, excuse me, subtitled, The Appearance of Far-Right Activists, Both Foreign and Homegrown Among the Ukrainian Volunteers Fighting in East Ukraine is Causing Unease. Michael Skilt, or Skillet, S-K-I-L-L-T, is a Swedish sniper with 7 years' experience in the Swedish Army and the Swedish National Guard. He is currently fighting with the Azov Battalion, a pro-Ukrainian volunteer armed group in eastern Ukraine. Skipping down. As to his political views, Mr. Skillet prefers to call himself a nationalist, but in fact, his views are typical of a neo-Nazi. Skipping down again. Mr. Skillet says there is only a handful of foreign fighters in the Azov Battalion, and they do not get paid. They see it as a good thing to come and fight, he explains. However, Mr. Skillet is expecting more foreigners to join soon. He says there is now a recruiter who is looking for, quote, serious fighters, unquote, from outside Ukraine. And the article talks about Mr. Skillet's Nazi orientation. Mr. Skillet believes races should not mix. He says the Jews are not white and should not mix with white people. And Mr. Skillet, again, is a fighter with the Azov Battalion. Continuing, the key figures in the Azov Battalion are its commander, Andrei, A-N-D-R-I-Y, Beletsky, B-I-L-E-T-S-K-Y, and his deputy, Ihor, I-H-O-R, Mosichuk, M-O-S-I-Y-C-H, Ukraine. UK, excuse me, again, Andrei Beletsky, and his deputy in the Azov Battalion, Ihor, I-H-O-R, Mosichuk, M-O-S-I-Y-C-H-U-K. Andrei Beletsky is also the leader of a Ukrainian organization called the Social National Assembly. Its aims are stated in one of their online publications. To prepare Ukraine for further expansion and to struggle for the liberation of the entire white race from the domination of the internationalist speculative capital. To punish severely sexual perversions, meaning gay people, and any interracial contacts that lead to the extinction of the white man, unquote. This, according to experts, is a typical neo-Nazi narrative. The Azov Battalion was formed and armed by Ukraine's Interior Ministry. A ministerial advisor, Anton Garoshenko, who again is networking with and sort of overseeing Ukrainian hackers that have loomed large in the Russia investigation, got angry when I asked him if the battalion had any neo-Nazi links through the Social National Assembly. The Social National Assembly is not a neo-Nazi organization, Garoshenko said. It is a project of Ukrainian patriots who are giving their lives while the rich Europeans are only talking about supporting Ukraine. When, may I ask, will English people come here and help us fight terrorists sent by Russia's President Vladimir Putin instead of lecturing us on our moral values or people's political affiliations? Mr. Gerashenko was adamant, however, that there were no foreign citizens fighting in the Azov battalion. There are foreign journalists from Sweden, Spain, and Italy who have come to report on the heroic achievements of the fighters in their struggle against terrorism. Unquote. Again, that's from Anton Gerashenko, shepherding Ukrainian hackers who have emerged in a big way in various aspects of the Russiagate PSYOP. Now, we're going to review portions of an article we looked at in For the Record 803 and 804. This from the very important German foreignpolicy.com blog of July 30th of 2014. It is titled Ukrainian Patriots. Now, it talks about the Azov Battalion and Oleg Ryashko, who organized that. He is a key figure with the Radical Party in Ukraine. And again, it is with the Azov Battalion that Michael Skillet was fighting. Again, from Ukrainian Patriots, GermanForeignPolicy.com of July 30th of 2014. Speaking of Oleg Ryashko, Ryashko made himself a name with his brutality against the Kiev regime's eastern Ukrainian opponents. He is also co-founder and supporter of the Azov Battalion, a militia of over 100 mainly fascist combatants, including a Swedish neo-Nazi sniper. That is the aforementioned Michael Skillet. Continuing. He has reported that other snipers have already been in action for the opposition, i.e. for the Maidan, pro-Maidan side, during the Maidan protests. It has never been revealed who fired the fatal shots on February 20th. Again, speaking of Oleg Ryashko, he is also co-founder and supporter of the Azov Battalion, a militia of over 100 mainly fascist combatants, including a Swedish neo-Nazi sniper. He has reported that other snipers had already been in action for the opposition during the Maidan protests. It has never been revealed who fired the fatal shots on February 20th. And skipping down in the article. Founded in 2008 as a merger of various fascist organizations, the Social National Assembly had been very engaged in creating the right sector, or Pravi sector, in November of 2013 during the Maidan protests. According to its own admission, it is struggling, quote, for the liberation of the entire white race from the domination of internationalist speculative capital, a well-known anti-Semitic code word, end quote, to punish severely sexual perversions on any interracial contacts that lead to the extinction of the white man. Anton Gerashenko, again shepherding Ukrainian hackers, looming in the Russiagate PSYOP, quote, investigation, unquote. Anton Gerashenko, the Russiagate PSYOP, I should say, Anton Gerashenko, a high-ranking advisor of the Ukrainian Minister of the Interior, that's again Andrei Beletsky, explicitly affirmed that the Social National Assembly is not a neo-Nazi organization, but rather a party of Ukrainian patriots. He felt called upon to make this clarification to BBC journalist's statement about a leader of the assembly, Andrei Beletsky, who is currently a commander of the Azov battalion. I guess it's actually Oleg Ryashkov, who was the interior minister. Andrei Beletsky, very close to Ryashkov, head of the Azov Battalion. Continuing. In fact, numerous activists from the Social National Assembly and its Patriot of Ukraine paramilitary wing are members of the Azov Battalion. Patriot of Ukraine was commanded in the 1990s by Andriy Parubiy. Today, Parubiy, in his function as Secretary of Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council, bears a major responsibility for the war in the country's east. The Azov Battalion recently caused an international stir when it was reported that neo-Nazis from various other European countries, e.g. from Italy, France, and Sweden, are also members of the unit. Apparently, the battalion is being trained professionally. A Georgian Special Forces trainer is said to be among the instructors. I would note that Georgia, of course, is part of the Caucasus, from which some of the Chechen fighters working with Pravi Sektor and, as we will see, Azov Battalion have come. Resuming again and repeating that last sentence, a Georgian Special Forces trainer is said to be among the instructors. The Azov Battalion is one of three special commandos, with the Dnipro and Donbass battalions being set up in pro-Western Ukraine. By the way, this article is from mid-2014. The next part is most important here. The Swedish neo-Nazi Michael Skillet is a member of the Azov Battalion. Skillet, a member of the fascist Fenskarnas Parti, or Party of the Swedes, parenthetically the same Swedish fascist milieu to which Carl Lundstrom and Daniel Freiberg belong, says that he has, quote, at least three purposes in the unit: commander of a small reconnaissance unit, a sniper, and sometimes he works, quote, as a special coordinator for clearing houses and going into civilian areas, unquote. He says he has only been engaged in the Ukrainian conflict since March. He admits, however, this again, the Swedish sniper for 6 years in the Swedish army, he admits, however, to having spoken to at least two snipers who, during the Maidan protests, had shot at police from the trade union house in Kiev, at the time the headquarters of the protesters. Quote, their mission was to take out Berkut's snipers, unquote, explains Skillet. The deadly shots from the Maidan, which in Western propaganda had been used to legitimize the overthrow of President Viktor Yanukovych, have never been investigated by the Putsch regime, and Berlin has never applied pressure for an investigation. The Azov Battalion has close ties to Oleg Ryashko, whose radical party is one of the most popular in Ukraine. This as of mid-July of 2014. Ryashko is considered to be one of the Azov's founders. For internet videos, he allows himself to be filmed at joint actions with Azov combatants. The Azov Battalion's second-in-command, Izor Mosichuk, M-O-S-I-Y-C-H-U-K, has been elected to Kiev's municipal council on the electoral list of Ryashko's radical party. Note the following of the role of Mosichuk in the Maidan turmoil. This was not the first time Ryashko had intervened on Mosichuk's behalf. On January 10, 2014, Mosichuk and two other fascists had been found guilty and sentenced to several years in prison for a planned August 2011 bombing attack. On the evening of January 10th, ultra-right-wingers staged demonstrations protesting the sentence. The demonstrations degenerated into violent confrontations with the police. These confrontations, in turn, were then used by Berlin, Brussels, and Washington to accuse Yanukovych of excessive use of force on the movement fighting for democracy. Again, January 10th, 2014, Mazurek and two other fascists had been found guilty and sentenced to several years in prison for a planned August 2011 bombing attack. On the evening of January 10th, ultra-right-wingers staged demonstrations protesting the sentence. The demonstrations degenerated into violent confrontations with the police. These confrontations, in turn, were then used by Berlin, Brussels, and Washington to accuse Yanukovych of excessive use of force on, quote, the movement fighting for democracy. Immediately after the Kiev coup, Mazurchuk and his accomplices profited from the amnesty the pro-Western Ukrainian parliament granted on February 24, 2014, to political prisoners, unquote. Due to Lyashko's decisive engagement, Mazurchuk profited from the amnesty, was liberated from prison, and could participate in the organization of the Azov Battalion. Now, keeping in mind the Azov Battalion and Ihor Mazurchuk, keeping in mind Azov Battalion sniper Michael Skillet, who came from Sweden, and keeping in mind Anton Gerashenko, again, who is shepherding Ukrainian hackers who are looming large in the Russiagate investigation. Note the following. Remember all of those names, and note that a Chechen sniper was shot and killed recently. Note that this sniper, Amina Okuyeva, A-M-I-N-A-O-K-U-Y-E-V-A, a female Muslim who was fighting in Ukraine, had previously come from Chechnya, where the UNO-UNSA had been fighting alongside of the Chechens. Note that she was recently shot and killed. Note that she was a former advisor to Ihor Mazurchuk, again, who was organizing demonstrations that appear to have lent momentum to the Maidan turmoil. Note that Michael Skillet, again, a Swedish army sniper fighting with Azov Battalion, said at least two snipers were firing on the pro-Yanukovych Berkut forces. Note that Manafort's daughter has alleged, apparently, that Manafort was advising firing on the crowd, quote, to generate outrage about Ukraine, on whose behalf remains to be seen, and that the chief prosecutor of Ukraine is alleging that the guy who was very mysteriously, although conveniently from the standpoint of the current regime in Ukraine, able to recover the weapons used to fire on the Maidan protesters, was with the protesters in the Maidan, including apparently Mr. Mazurchuk. Note that Mazurchuk was recently very badly wounded in a bombing attack just last week that Amina Okayeva's husband, Adam Osmaev, believes was linked to the shooting and killing of his wife, herself a sniper. Note that earlier, someone posing as a foreign journalist tried to kill, according to Mr. Osmaev, both Amina Okayeva and Adam Osmaev. I wonder if perhaps Anton Gerashenko's statement that foreign journalists are coming here to cover the heroic actions of the freedom fighters, I wonder if in fact this, quote, foreign journalist, unquote, was actually an Azov person, perhaps looking to sanitize the Maidan sniper situation. From Business Insider of October 31st of 2017 from the Yahoo News website. This is an article by Daniel Brown, B-R-O-W-N, a veteran Ukrainian sniper whose husband allegedly plotted to kill Putin, was shot dead near Kiev. A Ukrainian veteran sniper was killed, and her husband, who allegedly tried to assassinate Russian President Vladimir Putin, was wounded in a shooting on Monday near Kiev. Amina Okayeva, O-K-U-Y-E-V-A, and Adam Osmaev, O-S-M-A-Y-E-V, were riding in the car past a railroad crossing in the village of Levakha, H-L-E-V-A-K-H-A, when their vehicle came under heavy fire from someone in the bushes on the side of the road. She was shot in the head. I drove as much as I could until the car stopped. I don't know. The engine was also hit. I tried to give her first aid, but she was shot in the head, Osmayev told a Ukrainian media outlet. Osmayev, who was also shot in the leg, has since blamed Russia for the attack and said that it was connected to a car bombing last week that wounded Ukrainian lawmaker Ihor Mozichuk, again, number two guy in the Azov battalion, organizing key demonstrations in the Maidan that appear to have contributed to that turmoil. And note the following, also skipping down. Okayeva, that's Amina Okayeva, the slain Chechen slash Ukrainian sniper. Okayeva had once worked for Mozichuk as an advisor, according to Reuters. This wasn't the first assassination attempt the couple had faced. On June 1st, Osmayev and Okayeva were in a car with a man, Archer, then the Sufanov Kumakayev, I'll spell it in the description, masquerading as a French journalist, bear in mind Mr. Gerashenko's statements, named Alex Werner. At one point, Benesupanov Kurmakayev asked them to pull the car over so that he could give them a gift from his editors. When I opened it, I spotted a Glock pistol, Okayeva told REFERL, a news service, after the June attack. He immediately grabbed it and started shooting at Adam. Again, very, very interesting indeed. Note again the lustration laws, which on the one hand are anti-corruption laws. They also make it a crime in Ukraine to tell the truth about the OUN and UPA's role on behalf of the Nazis in World War II. And they also are, quote, anti-communist, unquote. In an article from the Kiev Post that we've used in several programs from February 24th of 2017, Artemenko goes from obscurity to notoriety. That's about Andrei Artemenko, who partnered with Felix Sater, again, the point man for Trump's dealings with Russia and himself working with CIA, and Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen. Artemenko, although portrayed as a Russian agent, was actually very close to Pravi Sektor, which is the political front for the UNA-UNSO. And he has been generating information given to U.S. authorities about corruption on behalf of Poroshenko. Now, so has Yulia Tymoshenko, and one of the people who gave them information about Poroshenko's corruption, Valentin Nalavaychenko, was the former head of the Ukrainian intelligence service, described in many articles that we talked about in 959 and that are reprinted in part in the description for this show when it becomes, will be reprinted when it becomes available. Nalavaychenko was very close to the OUNB, ran the SBU along the lines of the OUNB, and he was giving information about corruption on behalf of Poroshenko to Yulia Tymoshenko and Andrei Artemenko. Poroshenko himself was Yanukovych's finance minister and in all probability was involved with some of the money that went to Mr. Manafort. And the Pravi Sektor Azov Battalion OUNB heirs basically want to replace him with one of their own. And don't forget that the chief spokesperson for the Azov Battalion is the personal secretary, was the personal secretary, Roman Svarich, to Yaroslav Stetsko. And again, the description for this show will have many of these connections at greater length. This concludes For the Record program number 982, Manafort and the Snipers, the Azov Battalion and the Russiagate PSYOP. This is being recorded on Halloween, October 31st of 2017. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.